This article is called COVID-19 Spreading Virulently in Wuhan as Early as Summer 2019. Now, listen, you know I'm COVID agnostic. What is this virus? I don't know. Is it the cold? Is it the flu? I mean, it definitely is in some cases, considering you can be diagnosed with both. People that test positive for the Rones can test positive for the flu. But which one do you think they released to the public, right? This article, I think, originally appeared in the Telegraph. That's what it says. But anyway, it's in the National Post. And, you know, so whatever this thing is, you know, like, for example, the lab thing. I mean, if people believe that it happened in a lab, whether that happened or not, which pretty seems obvious for. But again, you know, what are we supposed to believe? I mean, China as a government is like a sociopath. Like, do you believe the sociopath when you talk to him? Do you believe the information? You know, what happened with all those people dying in the street and people just conveniently showed up in hazmat suits just to pounce on them, you know? Anyway, so either way, the sociopath is allowing information to release from his murderous state about the spread of COVID-19, whatever it is, as early as last summer. Or excuse me, as early as summer 2019. See, there's 2 weeks, they just blend together here. The report claims spending on PCR equipment, critical in tracking COVID-19, sorry, they should probably trace that to change that to critical in encouraging diagnoses of COVID-19 or perpetuating COVID-19, increased to 13.4 million in 2019 in Hubei province from 6.9 million the year before. So what does that mean? Well, COVID-19 was spreading virulently, how do you say that word? Virulently. In Wuhan as early as the summer of 2019, far earlier than previously thought, according to an intelligence analysis of spending on PCR testing equipment. A new report claims to have uncovered notable, significant, and abnormal purchases of PCR lab equipment in the second half of 2019. Analysts trawled through PCR procurement contracts in Hubei province, of which Wuhan is the capital, and found spending had almost doubled on the previous year. The study by Internet 2.0, a cybersecurity consultancy that specializes in examining data from China, states, "We have come to the conclusion that based on the data analyzed, it suggests the virus was highly likely to be spreading virulently in Wuhan, China, as early as the summer of 2019 and definitely by the autumn. The data and the findings have been passed to United States government officials amid growing speculation that the coronavirus escaped from a lab in Wuhan and its existence was covered up for months." The report claims spending on PCR equipment, standard kit in laboratories for amplifying small amounts of DNA and critical in tracking COVID-19, well, that's what the article is saying, but you know it's nonsense, increased to 13.4 million in that area instead of 6.9 the year before. The report also found the number of PCR contracts increased from 89 in 2018 to 135 in the year of the outbreak. The authors claim that even more significantly, the growth in spending was accounted for by contracts at four main institutions: the Chinese Center for Disease Control, CDC, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the Wuhan University of Science and Technology, and a military hospital based in Wuhan. The report says this is of huge importance because of the body's roles in disease control and prevention. Moreover, it alleges the significant increase in spending was noticed from the summer of 2019. The report concludes, "We assess with high confidence that the pandemic," they misspelled pandemic there, they forgot the L, "the pandemic began much earlier than China informed the WHO about COVID-19. Oh, China didn't tell the truth. Wow, imagine that. Keep them on Security Council. Notable contracts found by the investigators included $60,000 spent in early November by the Wuhan Institute of Virology on PCR instrumentation. One theory is that the virus leaked from its laboratory. The study also raises questions about two purchases totaling $350,000 of pathogen detection equipment made by the Wuhan CDC in September and used for the Military World Games that was held a month later in the city. Athletes have since claimed they felt ill with COVID-like symptoms after returning from the games. The Telegraph attempted to contact a number of institutions named in the report but received no response." Well, this is a fun way of saying, yeah, the pandemic was planned and it happened earlier on and you all knew that, but why is this good news? Well, this is good news because people are starting to realize it. As I said, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be a reckoning. I've said this many times, and I got to believe it. There will be a reckoning. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know, what it's going to look like when it rolls out. But there'll be a reckoning. There's always a reckoning. And one of the things that the powers that be like to do, because they're not all on the same team. Remember that. They're not. Not everybody likes Klaus Schwab. I still think he's kind of a LARPer, not going to lie. Not everybody likes him. Not everybody likes Putin. Not everybody likes Trump. Nobody likes Joe Biden, except for all the dead people that voted for him. Nobody likes Trudeau, not even his wife. The natives here hate him now, too, even though he says he's all the native guy. Nobody likes these people. They have a unity of utility with one another, but when the situation arises where they can throw each other under the bus, they'll do so gladly. So, you know, there are lots of reasons to believe that, just like at all times in history, it's very likely, it's very possible that when the reckoning comes, the people that are in the know, they want to be on the right side of the change and the wins. So these conservative organizations like the National Post, Telegraph is a relatively conservative outlet, let's say. The Wall Street Journal, you know the ones I'm talking about. Fox News is starting to sound a lot better and all this stuff. I mean, yeah, Sean Hannity's grifting the vax, but they've been pretty good. Ingram and Tucker have been pretty good. You know, and the reason that's happening is because, you know, they know which way the winds of change are blowing. They know. You know, they know that eventually the narrative has to change. People get tired of the same enemy over and over again. They understand that these Fauci guys are losing it. That the average person, it's, you know, these strange, weird clowns that they've released to try to distract the population. The problem with them being a clown is that they really believe their own hype, you know, like a lot of them take it too seriously. I'm sure Fauci believes everything that he says, whatever that means. I'm sure that he believes that he's the savior. Otherwise, why would he do it? He can't just tell me it's money. I mean, there's lots of ways to make money. Like, this is the thing. Money is a huge part of it, don't get me wrong. But these people that go out and they're the public face of this stuff, like, they're narcissists. They're crazy people. You know. And they're always wild cards because of that. You can't get those guys to stop. You can't say to Fauci, down, boy. It's not going to happen. He wants a limelight. He wants to go on MSNBC every day. He wants to be on CNN. He knows he could make all the same money if he just worked as some sort of executive at a pharmaceutical company. He could probably make more. Or at least, I mean, whatever. He could make tens of millions of dollars doing whatever. They do it for they're weirdos. They do it for weird reasons. So at some point, the people that are much closer to reality in a lot of these places, they understand the winds of change are coming. So they want to get on the right side of history. So they start releasing information. They start believing the things that Alex Jones was saying probably 5 years ago and the rest of the world caught on to about 4 years ago, and the powers that be to catch on about 6 months ago. So I think that's what's happening. And another piece of evidence of this is what's happening in Australia. Now, there might be good news coming out of Australia. There's an article from LifeSite. It's called Breaking: Anti-Lockdown Pro-Life Catholic Becomes Premier of an Australian State. You read that right. Anti-Lockdown Pro-Catholic becomes Premier of an Australian State. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be the savior. Maybe he's going to turn out to be a total cuck like the rest of them, but who knows? His name is Dominic Perrottet. Now, on Tuesday morning, 39-year-old conservative Catholic, Dominic Perrottet was elected the 46th Premier of the New South Wales in 39-5 landslide. Remember I told you yesterday, I think it was yesterday, their Premier got caught, you know, conflict of interest, you know, going to be part of probably criminal investigation of this and another thing, being linked to vaccine companies and taking bribes and all that sort of stuff. Shocker, right? This followed the shock resignation of Gladys Berejiklian. I think I just pronounced that right for the first time. Amid corruption investigations, signaling the dawn of a new era in Australian politics. During his first speech as the 46th Premier of New South Wales, Perrottet stated, "Today begins a new chapter for New South Wales and one that we all will write together. I'm honoured that my colleagues have asked me to write that chapter as Premier, and I thank them for the confidence that they have put in me." After acknowledging the contributions of the recently resigned former New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian, Perrottet added, "Being Premier is a great honour, but I want to be clear that the job I have committed to today is not just to lead New South Wales, but to serve all the people of our state. For the past 18 months together, we have been battling a storm that is COVID-19. He continued, "Some have lost their lives, many have lost their livelihoods." I like how he said that. Some have lost their lives, but many have lost. There you go. Emphasis on the greater number. "So many sacrifices, big and small, have been made by so many for so long. Not being able to leave our homes, not being able to go to work, not being able to visit our loved ones, parents having to work and balance homeschool at the same time. Many have missed weddings, many have missed funerals and the opportunity to say goodbye to their loved ones." Perrottet then addressed the economy. He said, "As former treasurer, I know that a strong society needs a strong economy, and that is why our first priority will be to continue the plan we have started, keeping people safe, opening up the economy, and securing our recovery." I wish he wouldn't say keeping people safe. He continues, "Up until now, all of our Liberal premiers have been infrastructure premiers." Now, just as you, so you know, these terms, Liberal, Conservative, they can mean different things. In New South Wales, you apparently can be in the Liberal Party and be a pro-life guy, so he's part of the Liberal Party. I don't know what that means. But then again, we had Joseph Pearce on to talk about how Chesterton would call himself a Liberal, and those words mean different things to different people, so take it as you will. "Up until now, all of our Liberal premiers have been infrastructure premiers, building roads, rails, schools, and hospitals for communities right across our state, and that will not change with me, but I will also be a family premier, focusing on how we can make life better for working families, living the Liberal values of opportunity, aspiration, and hard work." Sounds to me more like a classic Liberal. Perrottet concluded his speech by stating, "We live in the best state and the best country in the world, and together we will make it better." The new premier then responded to an array of questions from reporters. When asked about his Catholic faith and how it will impact his leadership, Perrottet responded, "My religious views and my Christian faith is something I'm incredibly proud of, as many people are across our state." Good answer. "We live in a very diverse society," he continued. "I think some of the criticisms in relation to that diversity has been unfounded, and I am proud to live, and I love our state, and I love the diversity and the multicultural backgrounds and the religious backgrounds, blah, blah, blah. I am very proud of the fact that I have a strong Christian faith," he added, "but I think in the main, people right across our state believe in freedom of religion and freedom of opportunity to serve in public life, regardless of what your ethnic background is or whatever religious values are." Yeah, I said he's a classic lib. "As the former deputy leader of New South Wales Liberal Party and the leader of the Liberal Party's Conservative faction, Perrottet established himself as conservative with populist leanings due to the public support of U.S. President Donald Trump." Trump was actually pretty popular in Australia, by the way. Australia is a very conservative country. They've just got a couple whack jobs in some of the big states as premier. I mean, it really is a sad state of affairs. We read on this show, because you always get the inside scoop from the Commonwealth here. We read on this show I don't know if you remember, but a month and a half ago maybe, we actually read the restriction legislation, the actual policies. We read those from various Australian states outside of Victoria and New South Wales, and most of them were pretty open. Like, there are places in Australia that, I mean, again, look at games between Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Argentina, professional rugby leagues in Australia, New Zealand, etc. They have had full seasons with no masks in the stands in the full stadium. So it's a very, there's a couple places where they're crazy, 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 and that's get all the press, but there's been parts of Australia that are very conservative, and they're just, you know, they've got closed borders and stuff. I'll tell you what, if Canada had closed borders, which we do, I mean, you can't drive across. I mean, I got so many friends in the States I'd like to see, but I can't. If we were going to, listen, it's annoying, but if you follow logic and you say we'll close the borders and you can live within them freely, like, that would be much better. That's logical in the world of stupid. That's logical stupidity. Okay, so if they were going to do that here, okay,